Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And that's why I missed being away yesterday, Mark Childress, already being yelled at by our Sports Talk's most decent producer at Diesel on radio right there before we get on the air.
Yeah, well, I was telling Diesel, you know, I sent him a tweet. It was a sports-related tweet this morning, what, 10:30? Haven't heard back from him yet, so he's big time in me today.
Wasn't it something to do with lifting and LeBron? Or
it was.
I wasn't LeBron even awake at 10:30. What are you talking about? I work until midnight every night.
Hold on. That's his story, and he's sticking to it, right, Diesel?
Yeah. LeBron posted an Instagram post or whatever today of him doing some squats, and I was questioning the form on those squats, Diesel, so I went to the expert, which was you, and I've been waiting now for 6 hours to hear your answer. So maybe at the break you can fill me in.
Yeah, you can look that up while some other things, because I don't tell him what to do. He decides it out of generosity of his heart. Well, they are. I guess if you wait long enough in the World Cup, you'll see that they are actually waving red, white, and blue flags there in Russia at the World Cup, and it has nothing to do with the Stars and Stripes.
No, France, yep. Pulling, in my mind, somewhat of an upset over Belgium today. Belgium had kind of become the media darling that everyone was thinking was going to find a way to get through to the finals and maybe even win it. So France with a 1-0 victory. They advance to Sunday's final, and we've got England and Croatia tomorrow. Should be another good one.
Should be. So, again, we're getting closer after tomorrow. Third-place games will take place on Saturday, or the third-place game, which that's probably a game you're going to see a bunch of backups playing in. You know, might be a little bit of pride involved in third place, but some of these guys that are worn out might get a break in that third-place game on Saturday. The finals will take place on Sunday.
Do you like the idea of a third-place game? I've always thought at the Final Four, why not play a third-place game? I know they did. I wonder why they got rid of it. To me, it's interesting.
It's a little bit more bang for the buck when it comes to Europe. But, man, I get it. At times, you get beat, you're out of it, you mentally check out. But like I said, this you can also view that third-place game as a chance to test some of your youth on that type of level and see how they respond to it. So, again, it all comes to an end. And, you know, haven't been overly crazy about it, Mr. Childress, but I have paid attention to it. It has provided us some good storylines and some good filler time as you head into vacation next week. I head into vacation the following week. And then by the time we get back, it's the kids are in camp. It's football season. It's official. We will be up at ACC football kickoff on Wednesday and Thursday morning. And then also tomorrow out near a little bit further out toward you is our once-a-month appearance at Bada Bing Pizza on Woodruff Road.
All right. I can't wait. It's my first time with you at Bada Bing, so I'm looking forward to that tomorrow.
All right. Well, you know, you live out that way. Get some of your neighbors out there and have them join us, and we will have a nice meal when we get off the air, the Heart of Felix family. And it'll be the first time I've seen her since she put that wedding ring on.
Nice.
Yeah, she got married about 3 weeks ago, I think it was. So, again, always look forward to being out there at Bada Bing. But guess what? We're here at Smoke on the Water today. So, looks like some sunshine out there. Stella was running her mouth a few minutes ago, like rain and lightning 10 minutes away. And just that's why bartenders can get away with bloody murder.
Exactly. But we did have that sun shower last week, yes. Sturge, where it was sunny outside and pouring down rain. So maybe she's got a vibe or her knee's hurting or something. Whatever she's using to detect the weather, I'm not going to doubt it for now.
Well, again, we're here. Come by and see us, because I tell you, somebody that's stopping by about 5, you know, for that 5:37 segment, J.C. Sherbert's going to come by and talk some Gamecocks and the SEC headed into media days in a new facility, if you will, for the Southeastern Conference, the College Football Hall of Fame. And I'm really, really interested. SEC media days as a Bama guy, it's not because that we've been good. It's just gotten out of hand over the last decade. Their goal was to do a bigger credential number than the year before, therefore setting records. And I'm going to be interested to hear feedback from my buddy who was like, I really don't have any use for this anymore. You know, if it's handled any differently this year in Atlanta, if this is a way to kind of get back control of it, if you know what I mean. That's what I'm looking forward to as much out of anything. Because if that's the case, then I would look forward to going back. But the last, after going there 3 or 4 times and just walking away going, what'd you get out of that besides some photos that you put up on Facebook? Wow. You know, that's one of the main storylines for me, and I think a lot of other people, when it comes to the media next week with the SEC days down in Atlanta. And, of course, we'll, you know, same day, South Carolina and Clemson will be up there Wednesday and Thursday morning in Charlotte for the ACC.
What is the size difference in SEC media days and ACC media days? You've got the history with this. I do not.
3-1.
Okay. That sounds about right.
It's been about 1,200. They've encroached down. And listen, we're no better than anybody else. We try to scratch out a buck just like anybody else, and I admire it. But no offense, when you're in there fighting for to get a quote from, and you're dealing with some high school kid that's a blogger and he got credentialed just because they were looking to make another record, that's what ended up turning a bunch of people off. Now, listen, the SIDs and all that stuff, Childress, you know as well as I do, they love not to have to deal with these media days anymore.
Right.
It's not what it was 15 years ago or even 10 when I came on. You know, now it's kind of a hassle because, you know, as we get further and further along and there's more money involved, they want to control the message, you know what I mean? And you're getting ready to watch. When a coach sits down with us on Wednesday, we will have the sports information director sitting right there with you. So you'll know, unfortunately, we have a great relationship with them, but it is not the free-willing. When I first started going to media days a decade ago, the night before it started officially, coaches would already be at the Grandover Resort or at Pinehurst, and they were hanging out in the party room the night before it began, you know, the open bar room, just hanging out. You look over there, there's Dave Dorn, there's Dave. None of that goes on anymore. They just don't allow it. They've cut down on the time of it. No golf tournament, no nothing. And you can just see it's sort of like the media itself. It's just shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, this availability.
It's interesting. I know you're much more of an old school TV newspaper guy. Is it the internet? Is it drawing the line where, I mean, how many Clemson websites are there now? Probably somewhere between 10 and 15. Oh. So I guess if you take that and you take it to each school and you're adding to it and you go to somewhere like Alabama, I'm guessing I can't even imagine keeping up with all the fan sites from Alabama and all the newspapers. And every local newspaper in Alabama is going to want to be there to get their exclusives. So I'm looking forward to it. I went to a couple of ACC media days way back in the day and an SEC media day. We're talking 20 years ago. And you could literally walk right up to the table and sit down and talk to the coaches. So, I remember talking to Jim Donnan when he was the coach of Georgia, and it was me and him and the radio guy that I was up there with for 10 minutes, just in the middle of the media day, just hanging out, doing an interview.
I forget.
I can't imagine it's anywhere close to that
today.
It was
Tony Barbie, the former Auburn head coach that was at UTEP. 5-6 years ago, whatever it was, his second year at Auburn, we went up. They had SEC basketball media days in Charlotte, you know, to kind of coexist with the new SEC network and everything. And I look over, and it's, you know, 6 coaches in a room, you know, with all the, you know, media around. And you look over, and one of them's Cal, so therefore everybody's around his table. Tony Barbie had nobody, literally no one, sitting at the table with them. I felt so bad. I didn't give a flip about Auburn basketball.
Yeah.
I felt so bad that I went over there and sat down and started interviewing him with my digital voice recorder just because he was sitting there by himself. And
Oh, wow.
It was like, yeah, so this whole thing has definitely changed. And listen, some of the main things is to get together with, you know, set up interviews and actually record some stuff with other members of the media as well. So we'll have a lot of different things because I'll be back here on Thursday. You'll go back on vacation. You're doing yeoman's duty, coming up from the beach, headed back, Diesel. That's what a true, true member of Straight Up with Sturge does when the chips are down. And I've got to bust out. We are having a huge deal at Carolina Golf and Tennis at Botany Woods next Thursday, celebrating the third championship of the year, the British Open. It's their big, like, South Carolina golf tournament. And listen, it's a really cool place I want to tell you more about because you may not have 6 hours. You and Richmond have been playing golf on Saturdays.
Yeah.
But y'all probably don't have 6 hours to get through a round during the week, do you?
Absolutely not.
Whether you can get through, it's an executive par three. By that, I mean it is, you know, cut through the neighborhood there at Botany Woods. Two sets of tee boxes. You can play 18 holes of legit cool par three. Be done in less than 3 hours.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing out there, too. Yeah. You've been telling me about this place. I'm really excited. Won't get it next Thursday, but I'm hoping before the summer's up to get out there a couple of times.
Yeah, so again, we'll be busy. Again, tomorrow at Bada Bing back here at Smoke on the Water Thursday, Smoke on the Water next week. ACC football kickoff, Carolina, a lot of stuff going on. And then I clear out it next Friday at 7:03. You suckers aren't hearing from me until the beginning of August as we're going on our vacation. I don't care what anybody says. It's well learned because I got to tell you thank you. I got to tell you and Diesel thank you. I didn't have a great weekend and ended up at the doctor yesterday. And I'm just going to be honest, my blood pressure was up, but not the top number, the bottom number. And they go, dude, that's pain. And I told you, I'm going to still try to make it and come in and co-host and everything. And some of the new medicine, I laid down and got the longest amount of sleep that I have had since before I went in for the operation on May 1st. So that was good. And, I just got to be a little bit careful of what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, well, that's the good upside, Sturge, and we're always here for you, as you know. Diesel and I had a good time yesterday. We had a topic yesterday I wanted to ask you about. We talked about expectations around your team. Mm-hmm. And I've been seeing a lot of fans online, mainly on these, you know, websites for Clemson and for South Carolina. If Clemson doesn't win the national title, our season's a failure. And for South Carolina, if we don't win 10 games again, our season's a failure, which I think is a ridiculous set of expectations. So for you in Alabama, and you've been living this world for a long time, is your expectation next year we win the national title or our season is a failure?
No. Because, I wish my buddy Reed, my neighbor, was listening. I know he's not in his car right now because it drives him nuts. He's that Clemson guy. If we don't go undefeated, blah, 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 blah. I'm worried about Louisville and Orlando. We have been conditioned, whether you want to admit it or not, when it comes to Nick Saban and the success that he's had, don't think past that opener.
Yep.
Don't think past that opener and then handle the second game. And that's all I mean, as far ahead as I've looked into Bama's football schedule is, there's one weekend, the second weekend in October, in which we could get down for the Missouri game.
Nice.
Because of Clemson's schedule and everything and what all I've got going on. So that's as much as I know about the mid and then back end. I know what's coming, LSU, Auburn and that stuff. Right or wrong, even my buddies up at where we hang out, we have been conditioned, deal with that first game. So right now it's Louisville. And if you're 1-0, then you go take it. But here's the deal. Clemson fans are going to find this, and at some point it's going to bite them in the butt. You are now in a realm where you're everybody's big game, and you can't take a step back, and you can't take a deep breath, or you don't make all the right calls. What happened at Syracuse last year?
Yep.
It happens. You are now – you are the big game. You are the game that circled. And guess what? You better not think too many steps down the road. You better handle your – and it works for the players, and I guess it started to work for the fans as well.
Well, you're a measured fan. So what percentage of the Alabama fan base is in the expectations or bust you know, category? How many of them are that?
When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 844-GSP-ESPN. Grace Rayner's going to talk Clemson. We're going to give her just do at 437. But I'm digging this. Let's keep rolling with it. You keep asking because, again, I try to be this person, you know what I mean, just focused on Louisville down there in Orlando. All right, 844-GSP-ESPN. We're live at Smoke on the Water. Bring us back, bro.
Welcome back into Straight Up with Sturge. Mark Childress here. Mark Sturgis. Mark, we're talking expectations
real quickly,
in college football.
Yep. I'm going to answer this. We got Vol Nation.
Oh,
then we've got
great.
Delvin. But go ahead, because you patiently waited through the break, chomping at the bit, getting ready to make fun of me, and that's cool.
I wasn't going
to
make fun of you. I was going to say that are you the typical Bama fan? And then I want to hear from Vol Nation if he's the typical Vol fan. Or do most Bama fans have the, we have to win the national title, or it's a failure of a season and I'm miserable?
I would like to think that my friends that I hung out with at Alabama that make a few trips down there a year are much like me. I also think the further you get down into the message board crowd, you find the guy with the crimson red pickup truck with 13 different bumper stickers and national championship this and that. They're never going to be satisfied unless it's a national title. So I think it depends on if you've got money invested in the game or if your emotions are invested. And by money, I mean you paid to go to school there. You're making donations as an alumni. But if your pride of who you are is based off of reading message boards about how great you are and you're the best team, then I don't think anybody can do anything but win a national title. And it's wrong.
It's agreed.
Wrong. And, all right, let's get Vol Nation in because guess what? They go hiring a Bama defensive coordinator to come save their program in Knoxville. How you doing, Vol Nation?
Boy. I'm doing great, man. Glad to hear that you're doing well, my brother. Yep.
Thanks,
I'm pretty excited about this coming season. Yeah, rough day. Well, hey, man, next time you shoot me a text, let me pray for you or something, man. All right?
All right.
But, hey, looking at Tennessee, I mentioned yesterday, I think for us, you know, going 6-6 is our goal. We go anything better than that. That's peaches and cream, especially in the first year. But when you look at our program overall, you ask the average Tennessee fan, we all believe that we should be a 9, 10, and sometimes 11-win mm-hmm. season type of a program. Just because of history. When you look at Alabama right now, they're in a groove, and you're expecting them to compete for the SEC every year. You're looking for them to compete in the playoffs every year. When you look at Clemson, Clemson has gotten, like you mentioned, to that rare air. But I think one thing you probably can help them with is, you know, enjoying the process, enjoying this season, because it won't last forever. People think that mm-hmm. when they look at Alabama and they look at the success that Nick Saban's had, that, you know, this is something that could probably be done all the time. You just got to put the right form together, and then you have a 10 or 12-year run. And it's just so difficult to do that, especially in today's programs and how our culture is going and the level of competition and these kids that are coming out. And some of them, you know, may leave a little early or whatever, but, you know, that is just difficult to do. This is a once-in-a-lifetime, I think, thing that Nick Saban has done. And when it's mm-hmm. over, I don't think we're going to see it again. When we see some teams that dominate for a few years, yeah. But like I said, it's going to cycle in and cycle out. And so my suggestion is to Clemson fans is just to enjoy the moment. Enjoy the mm-hmm. time. You know, don't take it for granted. You know, because next year or the year after, it could be a change. And then, not that you're down in the dumps, but you might be an 8-9 win season. Then you might get back up there again. It's just an in and out type of a thing. As far as Carolina, when you look at Carolina, they won 10 games last year. But even when they played Tennessee, they struggled. And Tennessee was a bad program last year. And so Tennessee's going to be a little bit better this year. I think Florida's going to be a little bit better this year. I think the East overall is going to get better. You know, whether it's Georgia, Tennessee, of course, Georgia's already better. But Tennessee, Florida, and South Carolina, and even Kentucky, I think, would be better. So I think they need to just take
great
the pros and cons and maybe look at 7 or 8 wins and call it a day.
All right, you get there. Listen, I know this much. Tennessee's already tougher, but stop and think about this. You know, Bama, before Nick Saban, you know, one bad hire, Mike Price, that never coached a game, then reached out a la Clemson to Mike Shuler, who was a come save our program after this embarrassment of our coach being caught in a strip club, you know, and then with two strippers afterwards. That to me was the same hire when Clemson panicked and went and got Tommy West from UTC after 1-4-7 year, because we needed that, you know, the thought process. We needed that DNA bridge back to Danny Ford. So, you know, it was a bad hire. And one bad hire can set you back a decade, a la University of Florida hiring Ron Zook when he was the defensive back coach for the New Orleans Saints. People are like, who the heck's this guy? Tennessee's was Derek Dooley. I actually think the hire Lane Kiffin, had he stayed there, might have ended up working out for Tennessee. But it was, well, we can't go from, you know, have a repeat of that. So they went and got the most boring individual with SEC ties with Derek Dooley. So the point of it is, you're one bad hire away from not being what you were. Let's go to the phones. Delvin, real quick. Delvin, hope you're having a good afternoon.
I'm good afternoon. How about you guys?
Sun's out, where it's smoke on the water.
Yeah, I want you to guys say, what do you think about David Tepper's press conference? He said some interesting things. First, he said, it looked like Carolina going to be getting a new practice facility where they need it, and probably get a bubble over top of it so they, when it rains and stuff. So I think he saw Minnesota Vikings new practice facility and said, hey, we're way behind. We need yours one. So expect that, Carolina Panthers fan. And he also said about stadium that he's going to redo the stadium, and he said significant changes, so it might be some changes on the outside, the inside, but the stadium will. So I just wanted to get your guys' take on what he said about his comments he said about in the press conference today.
All right. Great. Thank you, Delvin. Hope you have a good afternoon. First of all, I thought he won the press conference. He was very unique, if you will. The unfortunate part that's kind of being dragged around, if you ask me, Mark Childress, it's about the Jerry Richardson statue. I was contractually obligated to keep it up. I get it, but you also can't turn your back completely on your past either. There is no Carolina Panthers stadium nor franchise if it weren't for Jerry Richardson. So maybe you got to take the good with the bad when it comes to that. But there could be they've used those downtown streets to their advantage. If you've been up there for an SEC or an ACC championship game or a bowl game, there could be some more stuff around that stadium to make it a longer day spent, if you will. I like that. Of course, you got any time in the South, you got to have an indoor practice facility. A bubble's just a short-term solution to a long-term problem. Also, from what my contact said, we've tried to get a couple of people from Panthers.com. The subject of Major League Soccer came up multiple times as well. So I guess they may partner with something to do with a possible Major League Soccer expansion team there in Charlotte.
Yeah, I was impressed with what I heard today as well, Sturge. I thought it was good stuff there. Jerry Richardson, in his contract when he departed, he wanted to have the statue up. I mean, that was clearly important to him. So I don't know if that's a permanent thing, or does Tepper have the ability in a few years to quietly make it go away. I think this is a prisoner of the moment type thing a little bit. And a few years from now, it won't be as big of a deal, but because of the way he's left in disgrace, it's a big deal right now. It's a hot bed topic right now.
You know what I mean?
It is.
And while that's a terrible way for somebody's first of all, you make your bed, you sleep in it. I'm not trying to excuse anything that Jerry Richardson did or does or whatnot. Also think there's a little bit of a good old boy element to it back in the day in which people just acted differently. And it's not justifying it, but I don't think he felt of himself as a predator. You know what I mean? I thought he's a smart-ass rich man. You know what? You can't do it in 2018. It comes back to haunt you. But, listen, there's a lot of things I did in my 20s I'm glad that I can't be brought up on charges with right now. You know what I mean? But I'm here to talk about it. So, it's a hotbed topic. I get it. I'm the father of a soon-to-be 17-year-old daughter. I take all this very, very seriously. But you have no Panthers franchise without Jerry Richardson. Yeah, he got paid $2.2 billion to walk away. I get it. But still, nothing ever takes place without Jerry Richardson.
Yeah, so I think this will slowly go away over time. I thought Tepper handled it well in the press conference today. Hey, guys, I can't do anything about it. It's in the contract. Let's just drop this and move on. Mm-hmm. He really likes his head coach, Ron Rivera, and that was the biggest thing that resonated with me today, is that he feels like he's got the right coaching staff in place. He feels like he's got a good product on the field. He kept saying he was very happy with the football side of things. So it looks like the Panthers have got a good owner. He's very measured and reasoned, but he looks very invested in making this not just a good team and a competitive team, but a great team for the city of Charlotte and for the Carolinas going forward.
And the main thing you want to hear with new ownership in this day and age is we're going to make here better, not we're going to take it and go do it somewhere else because I've got some secret slush fund that's going to pay me off a bunch of money. You know what I mean? So, yes, it's going to remain the Carolina Panthers. That's the biggest win at all. Not that there was any doubt, but there's always that slim bit that somebody might have a home, you know, town. So we shall see. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of Clemson football ahead of next week's ACC Media Day with the South Carolina sports writer, co-sports writer of the year, Grace Rayner of the Charleston Post and Courier. And then after that, it's open phones. We'll have a J.C. Sherbert sighting here in the 5 p.m. hour at Smoke on the Water. It's kind of ironic hearing that intro there, Diesel, because we're going to the guest line for the first time today. It's Grace Rayner. She covers the Clemson Tigers for the Charleston Post and Courier. And Mark Childress, she is our co-South Carolina Sports Writer of the Year by the National Sports Media Association with our buddy Scott Kiefer at the Greenville News. Congratulations, Grace. How was it in Winston-Salem for the award ceremony?
Oh, thank you so much. It was awesome. It was really cool to obviously share it with Scott and have a familiar face. And I'm sure as you felt when you went there, there's just so many people that you either listen to on the radio or you admire reading their work, but you never get to meet them. And so to put a face to a name to some of your favorites is really cool. And Winston was a great host. The whole weekend was really cool.
Cool. Yeah, like I said, you look around, you see Rick Riley over here and all, and these guys that, you know, you grew up with, and it's a stopgap moment. But congratulations. It's because of your great work in covering the Clemson Tigers. And you ought to feel like you're pretty close to the Tigers defensive lineman right now, Grace. You've got articles out on both Christian Wilkins as well as Dexter Lawrence. And, of course, those are the two Tigers expected to lead that defense in this Clemson football program.
Yeah, so we're in the middle of, you know, the dog days of summer, so we're getting ready to finish up our series where we're counting down the who we think are the top 10 most important Clemson football players this season. And so I put Christian and Dexter back-to-back. I think that obviously anyone who's spent some time around Christian knows that he is sort of the life of the party on the D-line. He's sort of the heart and soul of this unit. He's got major leadership. He's just an amazing guy to be around. And then you look at Dexter, who's a little more quiet, a little more reserved, but he played an entire season last year. Dabo Sweeney told us never 100% healthy. So you look at the prospect of having someone like Dexter Lawrence playing as well as he did last year with a toe slash foot situation that was never fully right. And you look at the damage he can do this year when he is 100%. And it's scary if you're the O-line's going up against these guys.
Hey, Grace, Mark Childress here. You've also got Isaiah Simmons on the list, making the transition from safety to linebacker. I think he's a better athlete than Dorian O'Daniel. If he can get the mental side down and play open like DOD did, I think he could do big things on the defense this year. Do you agree with that assessment?
Totally. I think that – and Isaiah is a guy that we haven't spent a ton of time around, but he is a guy that – I remember instantly getting a really strong first impression from him just in terms of how cerebral he is. This is a dude who, as you said, is really athletic. He definitely has the build of a linebacker. But he actually went to Brent Venables before Venables came to him and said, hey, I feel like maybe this linebacker thing would be a good fit for me. So before Venables ever even approached Isaiah, they were already on the same page. They were sort of clicking. He's very aware that the position is very different, and he has a huge learning curve this summer. But just the little time that we've spent around him, I think he's going to pick it up pretty quick. And I think that he is very self-aware, which is obviously what you need when you're going through something like this.
As we continue with Grace Rayner of the Charleston Post and Courier, give her a follow on Twitter, GM Rayner. That's R-A-Y-N-O-R. And, you know, one position battle, if you will, or one thing we don't look at or think about is the place kicking. Because, you know, it started off rough after the Hugo injury last year, but Spence turned it on by the end of the year. What are the expectations there with Greg Hugo making the return from injury?
Yeah, this is a position battle that I'm really excited to see play out, because I remember vividly this spring, Dabo Swinney told all the reporters, he was like, y'all keep asking me about the quarterbacks, but you need to be asking me about the kicking battle. Apparently, Spence has brought it this spring, and I think that he just got so much more confidence last year. With Hugel, obviously, we saw him in the spring game taking some of those isolated kicks by himself. He wasn't still fully healthy at that point, but he was progressing nicely. He seems to be right on track. I would think that by August, September, you know, you're looking at almost a full year coming off of his injury, so I would think he would be ready to go. But I'm excited to see how this plays out, because obviously you've got Hugel. He's a two-time All-ACC kicker. He's kind of the guy when you think about it. But Spence turned it on towards the end of the year, had his best game against Alabama, and apparently has had an incredible spring. So I'm excited to see that one sort of play out.
Hey, Grace, we're contractually obligated to ask about the quarterback situation at Clemson in every interview, so I'm just going to go ahead and ask that question now. I don't want you to tip off the rest of your top 10, obviously, that you're going to be rolling out soon, but have you seen any shift, or have you been picking up any vibes this summer that might color that race as we go into August?
Yeah, so it was interesting all spring long, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this on your show. Dabo Swinney was very clear about, you know, Kelly's the guy. He still said after the spring game that, you know, if Clemson played today, Kelly Bryant would run out there. But I sort of got the sense that he sort of toned it back a little bit, given how much we saw Trevor Lawrence sort of explode onto the scene at the spring game. Obviously, that was the big question with him. Is the hype going to be validated? You know, how's he going to look against some college guys? So I'm really interested to see how coaches play this, because I think it's a very delicate balance between you want the best guy to go out there, but you also need Kelly Bryant to be as confident as possible, especially when you're looking at the reality of going to Texas A&M in week two. You know, I'm not sure that Trevor Lawrence as a freshman is going to be ready for that environment in week two. So I'm super interested to see how they split it, who they start with. My gut says that Kelly's going to be the guy to start it. Maybe towards the middle of the season we might see Trevor sort of inch up on him, but this is obviously a major storyline in college football right now.
So, Grace, I want your opinion. You know, most people that know me know that I went to Alabama because I catch my grief about it, but I'll give some as well. I don't want to share your alma mater without your permission, but it's a stalwart when it comes to college basketball. And we've been talking about expectations. We're actually watching the Clemson and Clemson fans' expectations shift under our feet the last few years. How was it handled at your school? Was it one game at a time, let's see it through, or national championship or bust?
So I went to North Carolina. We can reveal that.
Okay. All right. That's not my place.
I was trying to guess. I was thinking North Carolina or Duke.
Or
so.
Kentucky. Yep. All right. Indiana.
We'll go ahead and clear the air. I did go to North Carolina. You know, I just think that football and basketball, it's so hard to compare, because when you look at this Clemson football team, it's like if you lose one game, your season hangs in the balance. Whereas North Carolina lost to Wofford, and it wasn't the end of the world. But if Clemson loses to Furman in football in week one, it sort of will be the end of the world. And so I think that they're obviously two different things. There are way more games in basketball. Obviously, I think you can flush losses a little bit easier in basketball. But I think the mark of a good coach, and Roy Williams says this and Dabo Swinney does too, is, you know, you sort of keep what's present and what's now the important things. Obviously, it's natural. We're all human beings for these players and coaches to want to look ahead. But I very much got the sense when I was at North Carolina that Roy Williams was a now kind of guy. And when the big picture comes, we'll address that when we get there.
Yep. Hey, listen, Grace, congratulations on your award here back in June. And I mean this with all sincerity. I've got a daughter turning 17 on August 2nd. And I said, go follow her on Twitter, because, you know, here you are. You're right there with the guys. You know what I mean? And you're what's right about the industry. And you're what an aspiring 17-year-old should look up to. So I just wanted to put that weight on your shoulders as well.
Thank you so much. What's your name? I'll give her a follow as well. I'd love to reach out to her.
All right. Leslie Brooke, I don't want to know what her Twitter handle or Instagram handle or I just want the phone call. Deal with it if she ever gets out of line. But no, I really did. You know, she's in Taekwondo and in performing and all. And I was like, here's somebody to look up to, because, you know, listen, it's been tough. We talked about it with Caleb Burns Hefner. You know, sometimes the expectations are twice as much on y'all.
Well, thank you so much. That just made my day. Obviously, we get into this industry to make people happy, and so that's the ultimate compliment, so thank you.
Yep. All right. Listen, we will see you in Charlotte next week. We'll make sure we say hello.
Yeah, sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right. Grace Rayner for the Charleston Post and Courier. And listen, I mean that with all sincerity. You know, we had that talk with Kayla Burns Hefner about, you know, listen, women have been treated differently in the business. And I absolutely love seeing Grace right there in the middle, you know, talking about battling the web guys and everything else. She's the beat writer for the Charleston Post and Courier. And you look at her, and she's just right there in the middle of it. And it makes me stop and grin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, because you've got a son. Don't tell me that you don't look at the daughter just a little bit differently than you do the son.
You do. And that's the first time I've had a chance. I've met Grace in person. Mm-hmm. She's very nice. First time I've had a chance to talk to her on air, man. She's awesome.
Yep.
She knows her stuff.
Yep.
So that was fun.
All right. Listen, it's open phones when we come back. Yes, we have we'll give you updates on the World Cup. That game is now over with. And listen, since I wrote out this list earlier today, we've just completely veered off topic. We'll figure out where we're going to go. But one thing we got to talk about. Big, big news coming out of the PGA Tour earlier today. So, 844-GSP-ESPN. What are your expectations? Number two, outside of your school, what's the favorite stadium environment that you've ever been in and why? 844-GSP-ESPN. So, Mark Childress, I had much, much rather talk real Southern college football with the likes of Grace Rayner than worry about this game, football, over in Russia.
Here
but
we
do have one of the semifinals over with a little bit ago. The French come away with a 1-0 win over Belgium, and they will move on to what? Their second finals in about a 3 World Cup run.
Yep, I believe that's right.
Theory or whatever his name was 8 years ago, something like that. So they move on to the finals on Sunday, where they will await the England-Croatia matchup. And I don't know, is there any way that we here in the U.S., unless you have ties to Croatia, can't pull for England in this? Because do you realize the amount of liquor and beer that's going to be flowing in the United Kingdom between tomorrow night if they win in the finals on Sunday? I mean, there's the time to be over in the UK if you were ever going to be there.
So. Yeah, some of their celebrations have been crazy, them celebrating the goals and these huge – there'll be like 2,000 people out there, uh-huh. And then they're throwing beer in the air and going crazy. I think England-France is the sexier matchup for sure, but this Croatia team continues to find a way, advanced a couple of two games in a row now on penalties. That's the first time that's happened in a long time in the World Cup, and they're going to be a tough out tomorrow.
Listen, if it turns out it's France and England, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give, like, Diesel an entire segment of finding French taunts on YouTube. You know, if you remember the Holy Grail. Taunting French people, because that's what they like to do, and quite frankly, they forget real quickly it was the English that were about first in there saving their butts in World War II. But that's a story for different day. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's get Mike in. He wants best venue in college football. Now, Mike, the quantifier is it can't be your own. It has to be somewhere else that you've been. Hope you're having a good day.
I am, and thanks. You guys do a great job. Local Q says hi. My son's the GM there. And always.
Listen, we love that family over there, man.
Yeah,
they've been
good to us. I was just there for the World Cup. Anyway, I'm a Penn State grad, but the best one I've been to has been Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a good venue. Very good venue.
I have not been to Notre Dame, but I tell you what, Mike, for people that don't remember, when I was in school at Alabama, we played Penn State every single year. We had about a eight to ten-year run in which we played Penn State every single year, and that was what was fun about good rivalry in college football. We had a group that would come down every year from State College, and we'd set them up in Tuscaloosa, and then they returned the favor for people making their way up to State College, which it was the first time we ever found out it was easier to get to Tuscaloosa than to somewhere else in the world.
Terrible place to get to, but great venue once you're there. Great venue. Paterno could never beat the Bear. That's one of Paterno's idols, and he never beat the Bear, but that's another story. But Notre Dame's a good venue.
I was going to say, my freshman year, I sat through 8-3 in Legion Field, if you remember that. So good old SEC football, you know what I mean? Yeah, so I'm sorry.
I remember that. No, that was it. I remember that. I mean, great. One other quick thing about Notre Dame, in the movie Rudy, that Penn State fans will remember, the actual game was like Georgia Tech, but the team that was playing Notre Dame that day was Penn State. And that's, you could hear their fight song, Penn State's fight song in the background. So that's a little trivia for you guys. That's it. But great show.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate you getting in with us. We're going to do it. And I also think maybe there wasn't Nebraska, because there was one game with Red in there, and there was a little bit mixed in. And that was back when, I mean, we went up to Notre Dame. When I say we, Alabama, just like Clemson did in 79 and got the win. Dude, we went up there and got drilled like 37-6 my sophomore year. You know what I mean? And everybody, you know, wants to go to South Bend. It's one of those hallowed halls of college football. And maybe more so when you saw, what, about 45,000 Georgia fans up there for that game last year. I mean, they were paying multiple thousands of dollars on the open market for those tickets.
I had a number of Georgia friends. Of course, I've been down in Atlanta for the last couple of decades before moving up here, that went to that game and just said it was one of the best ones they've ever been to. They're echoing how good the venue was.
All right, let's get Kaz in before the top of the hour. He wants to talk about best venue that's not your own. Kaz, welcome in.
I'm going to let you know, I went to Auburn, Alabama in the early 80s at Auburn. Mm-hmm. Best place ever. I could go back there every time at the Iron Bowl. Never, no question.
Hey, that now, who are you pulling for before I get mad here now, Kaz? Oh, he's gone. So, listen, we went down. Now, we did not start playing – Keith McCants is when he ran down the dude all the way down the field. We lose that game at Auburn, our first trip over. Poor, you talk about one guy that's been in and out of trouble ever since his career at Alabama is Keith McCants. So that was my last year. So I always played my freshman year. I upset my mom. We actually played Auburn in Legion Field the day after Thanksgiving. So I bring one of my pledge brothers home, and there were a couple of girls from Greenville, and God forbid they let me take a car my freshman year to Alabama. We came home, had Thanksgiving. Dude, we were up like, you know, Thanksgiving night at 10 o'clock on our way back to Alabama, staying at a friend's house in Birmingham for the Alabama-Auburn game the next year. Dude, I got the big middle finger from my mom my freshman year for that move, because that was my first trip home, you know what I mean, was for Thanksgiving.
She wanted her baby home for the holidays.
All right.
You broke her heart, Sturge. Come on.
Hey,
this is a good football game,
though. This is the way it rolls. All right. So, again, you can get in with us. What's the best venue in college football? We haven't shared ours, and you're probably going to be surprised when you hear mine. And, again –
you're going to be surprised when you hear mine as well. So we'll do this after the break because I think you'll be surprised where I'm going.
All right, 844-GSP-ESPN. We're live here at Smoke on the Water. You can give Mark a follow on Twitter, at Childress Mark. Me at Sturgis Sports, of course, at ESPN Upstate, and at Diesel on Radio. We'll be back for hour number two.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.